like a copy of God's Word, the Bible, extract from the Bible, offered to you freely and without any cost, any obligation to you, is the Word of God, and it declares itself, you know, to have the ability that no other book does, and that is to make you wise, not so much clever, but wise for salvation, that is. That is to be found in Jesus Christ. Of course, I would emphasize this point at the outset, that it's not, you know, so much to make you religious, but a follower of Jesus Christ, because that's where salvation lies. And of course, that's what the Bible is all about, salvation. And not, as I say, so much religion. Religion doesn't save anybody. Religion's, you know, about what man does. Man seeking by his own efforts to reach up to God. Whereas the gospel, the good news about Jesus, is about God reaching down to man in the person of his Son, to procure, to work that salvation, to accomplish for us, for you, what you cannot accomplish yourself. And that, of course, through faith in Jesus Christ, in God's Son. So you'd like to have a copy of God's Word, as I say, it's offered freely to you, yours for the taking. And the Word of God, Bible here today, it speaks about Jesus himself. You know, he speaks about two ways. He speaks about the narrow gate, the narrow pathway that leads to life. And he speaks about the broad, the wide gate and the broad road that leads to destruction, eternal destruction, that is. And of course, that's the pathway that each and every one of us is born on, because as the Word of God tells us, we are, all of us, we are born, we are conceived in sin, sinners by nature and therefore by practice too. So all you see by nature on the wrong pathway. And I need, of course, to get in through the small gate and travel the narrow pathway, the one that leads to life eternal. But then, of course, Jesus goes on to speak about two different kinds of trees. Watch out for false prophets, he says, for they come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus by their fruit you will recognize them. How to, of course, discern? You might ask yourself the question, you know, a time or two in the quietness of your own minds, you know, at times, well, you know, with all these different religions the world over, how can a person know that which is the right one? Well, of course, Jesus, he answers that question here. He says the false prophets, well, you can discern them, you can judge them by the fruit that they bear. You know, for instance, the prophets of evolution. And of course, majority of you, I guess, here this afternoon have in some measure or another been infected by the false prophets of evolution. I dare say that most of you from the cradle, ungodly parents, ungodly school teachers, college professors, the media, the government, and so it goes on, indoctrinated with the false teaching of evolution. Well, Jesus says, the false prophet, whoever it be, a sect, a cult, a religion, it's all the same, you see, religion. Evolution is just another form of religion. Now, what you can prove, it's not scientific, it's just a philosophy of men that comes from the minds of fallen men, just the same as yourself. But it's what you believe, you see, it's not what you can prove. There is no justification for it. But of course, for you to examine its fruits, you know, does it make you a better person? Does it relieve you of the misery of sin? Does it bring eternal life to your soul? Does it bring you happiness, joy, peace? Does it make the world a better place? Does it make your country a better place? And does it make you a better person? Well, I suggest to you, friends, the contrary, the very opposite, that the fruit of evolution is nothing but utter despair and misery and hopelessness. By their fruits, you see, Jesus says, you will recognize them. You have but to examine, listen to what the person has to say, and of course, well, their behavior too. The false prophets, you see, have always been known by their bad behavior. The two trees, you see, that Jesus speaks of here, he says that a bad tree, you see, cannot bear good fruit. And a good tree, well, can only produce good fruit. But of course, if you want to make, the fruit good, you've got to make the tree good. And here's the trouble, friends. Here's the basic problem, you see, with the entirety of the human race. Why is it that we go after the false prophets? Why is it that we listen to the prophets of evolution, the prophets of your world religions, Islam, Buddhism, Confucianism, and Romanism? Why is it that you always gravitate to that which is false, to that which is bad, and bears bad fruit? Well, it's because of this, friends. You see, that the heart is bad, you see, the heart is diseased. You want to get good fruit from the tree, you've got to make the tree good. You want to get good fruit from a person's life, well then you've got to make them good, you've got to make their hearts good. But the problem is, we're not good. Or you might deem yourself to be a good person, but I have to ask you, should God allow you into heaven, I guess most of you would say here this afternoon, you would say, well, yes, I hope so. And if I ask you, well, why should God allow you into heaven? And you would say, because I'm a good person. Well, really? Well, maybe you'd like to put that to the test, you know? Take it to God's word. He says there's none good, not even one. Maybe you'd like to consider how many lies you've told. Or have you ever lusted after the opposite sex? Jesus says, you have already committed adultery in your heart. So you see, friends, there's none of us good. No, not even one. The tree is not good, and so therefore the fruit will not be good. The person is not good, so the behavior, the practice will not be good. Because you see, the problem is more, much, much more, friends, than what you do, say, or think. It's the heart condition, it's the very nature. Why Jesus says, you see, somewhere else in the Bible, he says you must be born again. Because, you see, the nature is rotten. where a deceitful heart, it says Jesus, and desperately wicked. Every single one of us, all he says have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're born, we're conceived in sin. We come into the world, you see, with sinful natures, and so you quite naturally do that which is sinful. If you have a deceitful heart, then you will gravitate towards that which is deceitful, to that which is false, always, never to the truth. And of course, this is what happens, says God, you see, when men and women suppress the truth of the knowledge of God in their unrighteousness, they exchange the truth for a lie. Always, you see, gravitating towards that which is false, because you have a false, you have a deceitful heart. But of course, if you want to change, you want to make the fruit good, the practice good, then, well, you've got to change the heart, you've got to change the nature. And it'll take more than religion to do that. It'll take more than the philosophies of men to do that. It will take more than anything that you or I can do to do that. You must, Jesus says, be born again. You see, a man cannot even begin to perceive, to see, to understand the kingdom of God, says Jesus, until he or she has been born again. You see, a supernatural act of God circumcising the heart, you see, and bringing a person, you know, a radical change of the heart, you see, that causes a man or woman to hate that which they once loved, their sin, and to love that which they once hated, their God, that is. You see, you're one of two things. You're either a natural born God hater, or a supernaturally reborn God lover. But no one ever loved God, no one ever desired God, no one ever desired the kingdom of God until they were born again. So you see, the final analysis is not down to you. You know, it's not what you can do. You can become religious, anybody can do that. Just join it, anyone you like. Go to the mosque, the synagogue, the temple, the Roman Catholic Church, and you can become religious quite easily. No bother at all. Anybody, any one of you can do that. But you cannot become a Christian of your own power, of your own volition. You have to be born of God, you see. Not of the will of man, says God. Not of the will of the flesh, but of God. How are you doing, sir? Oh, my God,
good.
I'm good, yeah. You want to have a read? Yeah? Take it home with you? Have a read? God's word, yeah? So, like I say, friends, you know, it's...
You got kids?
Sorry?
Do you have kids?
Uh-huh.
Yeah?
I do, yeah.
You do know you're contradicting yourself, then. Because uh-huh. Kids are an evolution of you.
No, they're not.
Yeah, they are.
They've been born of me, begotten of me.
They're begotten. An evolution of you and your partner.
Begotten in my likeness, sinners just like me, and just like your kids will be, if you have any, or do have any.
I've got kids.
Just
they're
the same.
All from me. My kids
one,
are all
one,
from
one,
me.
One.
That there is a lie.
No.
Yes, it is.
No, sir.
A lie.
Evolution's a lie.
No, that's a lie.
Justify
that statement
it.
Is a lie.
Justify evolution.
Your kids are an evolution of you.
Justify evolution.
Justify
evolution.
Your offspring, then.
Huh?
Justify your offspring.
Sorry?
Justify your offspring. You say you've got kids, yeah?
How
your
exactly?
Kids are an evolution of you. If you're saying that they're not an evolution of you, what you're saying is God put it in there. Nah, no, you're full of shit, mate. Full of shit. Evolution is a lie.
Yeah. Go wash your mouth.
That's what you really want to say.
Go wash your mouth out and then repent and believe the gospel at the same time, sir. So like you see, the proof of the matter, you see, they come with the filthy talk, you see. They come with their lies, you see. Proving the matter, you see. You know, that they were born in sin, sinful natures, and it's from that sinful nature that comes the hostility. You see, elsewhere in the Bible, God says, you know, that the sinful mind is hostile to God, not subject to the law of God, nor can it be. Why? Because of that sinful nature. That's where the hostility comes from. Now I can stand here, talk about politics, socialism, science, or anything else that you like to think. Think on any subject you like, and there'll be no problem, no hassle, no hostility, no anger, no rage. But the minute you start to talk about God, about His Son Jesus Christ, about the gospel, about man's sin, and what do you get? Hostility. You see, in doing so, you prove clearly that God is right, that God's word is true. The hostility, the rage, the anger, the enmity against God, where does it come from? It comes from the human heart that is diseased, that is deceitfully and desperately wicked, that needs to be changed by the power of the gospel. And only the gospel, my gospel that I declare to you here this afternoon, can bring about that change. Only the supernatural act of God, you see, in causing a person to be reborn. You must, as Jesus, you must be born again. Cannot perceive, you cannot see the kingdom of God until you've been born of God. Of God, friends, not of yourself, not of the human will, not of the flesh, but of God. It's an act of God. So you see, we're all of us shut into God, you see. Unless God shows mercy, unless God smiles upon you, unless God takes that action, causes you to hear the gospel, to repent and believe, unless God breathes the breath of life into you first, you remain as you were born, dead in your sin, trespasses, and of course, cut off from God. So, you see, friends, it's of God's mercy, it's not of man's will. It's of God's mercy alone. But, of course, through the proclamation of the gospel, which, of course, you know that, well, again, through the proclamation of the gospel, it brings out, it either makes you glad or it makes you bad, mad, you know, one or the other. Most of you these days, in this country of yours, here in Staffordshire, most of you, well, it makes you mad. Makes you plain, simple mad. But for some people, the odd person that God smiles upon and makes them glad. But it's through the proclamation of the gospel. That's where the hope lies, you see. For God so loved the world that He gave. A world that is of ruined sinners, of which you're one. We're all part and parcel of it, you see. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish in their sin, but have everlasting life through faith, that is, through believing in Jesus, in the Son of God. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. For this is a condemnation, that you have not believed in the name of God's only begotten Son. But there's where your hope lies, you see, that God has not left you to wallow in your sin, wallow in that which is false, you know, the false prophets of evolution, of Buddhism, Islam, and all the rest of the false prophets that abound in your world today. God has sent His Son, Jesus Christ, into the world that you might be saved through Him by His death and resurrection. Jesus, grace and truth came by Him. And truth is the only antidote, you see, to that which is false, the false prophet. It's only, you see, through Jesus Christ and through His power that a person, you see, can be made a new creature. But that's why He came, that's why He lived and loved and died, rose again from the dead, in order that you might have eternal life, that you might not perish eternally, everlastingly, in your sin, in the squalor and filth of your sin, that you might not die that way, go out of the world that way, broken, damaged, and remaining that way for all eternity. So you want to make the fruit good, you want to change the fruit, the practice, well then you've got to go to the heart of the matter, the root of the matter, the miraculous, the supernatural power and action of God changing your heart, giving you a new heart. And of course, well, Jesus came, that might be a possibility with you. That your heart might be changed, that you might become a lover of God, a lover of Jesus, instead of a hater of God and of Jesus Christ. That you might be made a new creature in Jesus Christ. So it's the gospel, you see. It's good news, friends. Good news for those, of course, to see themselves as God sees them.
What do you think about the predictions from Revelation from the 23rd of September this year?
I'm not with you, I'm sorry.
Well, in the book of Revelation, it predicts that Jesus is going to come into the sky with a crown of 12 stars in his head.
I don't
read that in
Revelation.
You don't believe
Revelation? No, yeah, I've read it many times. Never read that. Oh, yeah. I believe the whole Bible. But I've never read anything about that. Nothing about Venus.
You've got Revelation on your
head? Yeah. Nothing about Venus, yeah.
He mentions that there'll be a female in the sky with a sun at her shoulder and a moon at her feet and a crown of 12 stars.
Oh, yeah, well, you're talking about the apocalypse.
No, it's just a sign of God.
Yeah.
So God's going to send a sign, that's all.
Okay, so where are you coming from, like, you know, what's your belief? What's your worldview?
My belief is in spirituality, and I believe that spirituality, as long as you've got hope, faith and truth in your heart, then spirituality is all you need. I don't believe...
Well, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says you have to believe in Jesus to be saved.
It doesn't.
Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you shall be saved. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. There's no salvation, neither is there salvation in any other... Acts chapter 4 verse 12, check it out. Acts of the Apostles.
Acts of the Apostles.
Okay. Chapter 4 verse 12, check it out.
If I was you, I'd look.
Neither is there salvation in any other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. Only in the name of Jesus.
Jesus also said that in the name of my Father no church, no steeple, no monument will be built. Because anyone standing inside a church or a monument is worshipping a false god.
Well,
Jesus said that.
No.
Yeah, he did.
Well, tell me, give me the chapter and verse.
I know it's in the Book of Romans, I don't know the chapter and verse.
No, sir. Anyway, I'm going to carry on, please. Have a good day, sir. Like I say, you know, you can believe anything you want. Some people believe in Santa Claus, you know. But, you know, when you start talking about Santa Claus, you know, I don't get bent out of shape because I know he doesn't exist, you know what I mean? When I talk about God, you say he doesn't exist. So tell me, why do you get bent out of shape? You know, why do you get harassed and angry? You know, here's another one, look. Another drive-by heckler. Newcastle's four of them today. It's gotten into you all. Huh? But there's another guy, you know, just cuckoo land, you know. Talking about Venus, talking about science, you know. And friends, you can believe anything you want, you know. Like I say, you can believe that the moon's made of cheese if you want. You can believe anything you want, but that won't save you. That won't get you right with God. That won't get you into the kingdom of heaven. That won't get you past judgment day. Because here's the thing, you know, it's solemn, I know, but, you know, at the end of the day, like, you know, this is the issue, you know. We're talking here about heaven and hell. So what you believe, you know, what you believe is of the utmost importance. You can carry on believing evolution if you want. That's up to you. You know what I mean? But that will take you down. That will take you south. That will take you into the damnation of hell. You can believe in the Pope. You can believe in Muhammad. You can believe in Buddha, Confucius. That will not bring you salvation because there is not one ounce of salvation outside of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So you see, friends, you're going to stand before God, we all of us. Bible says that the wrath of God, the holy displeasure of God, that's the furious wrath and anger of God, is being revealed, already being revealed against all the ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth of the knowledge of God in their wickedness. Friends, the wrath of God is already being revealed. It's all over your nation like a rash. It's all over your community like a rash. But friends, that's now. But there's the day coming when you're going to stand before God in judgment. There's the day coming when you're going to be judged by God, by Jesus Christ, this one whom I declare you today, because a day has been appointed when He, the Son of God, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess, and every single man, woman and child will stand before Him in judgment. We are all of us, friends, all of us naked and exposed to the eyes of Him to whom we must give account. And you'll give account, you will in that day. For every empty word you speak, says Jesus, every empty word you speak, even for this occasion, you won't stand before Him and say, well, I didn't know. I never heard the gospel. Even these buildings around you here will testify in that day. Even these stones on the floor will testify against you in that day, that this day you heard the gospel, but you rejected it. You would have none of it. Friends, it's judgment. Like I say, you don't believe what you want. You believe the false prophets of Hinduism, of Sikhism, of Confucianism and Buddhism and all the rest of them. You believe what you want, but that won't save you. That won't bring forgiveness of sins to you. Because there's salvation in no other name, the Bible says, God says. There's salvation in no other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. Matters not where you came from, the east or the west, the north or the south, what color your skin is. One Savior, Jesus Christ, is the only one who can deliver you from the wrath to come. The wrath is upon you because of your sin. But this is the heart of the gospel, friends, that there is forgiveness with God. Forgiveness, reconciliation. You can be forgiven. Your sins, your misdeeds, the things that you've done and do that you ought not to do, they can be forgiven. And you have all of you those things you know that you ought not to have done and you do that you ought not to do. All of you, you know it. Your conscience, your very conscience is a testimony, God's testimony within you. That what I say to you is right. Oh, you know it's right. You know that God is. You just simply suppress the truth in unrighteousness because you don't want there to be a God. Because one, you know that His disfavor is towards you. And because you're a stubborn, rebellious sinner. Because that's the way you were born. That's your nature. That's the way you live. And that's the way you'll die if you don't repent and believe the gospel. But you know that God is. You know that God is. And a child is born before it knows anything else, it knows that God is. You know that God is. I mean the true and living God, you know that He is. And you know the righteous judgment of God. You know that one day you're gonna be held to account. You know that. You judge other people, don't you? Well, you pick up your newspapers sometimes and you hear some horrific crime, some act of terror, and what is it you say? You ought to be hanged, eh? You ought to be locked up, you ought to be the key thrown away. Don't you judge other people? Well, where did you get that sense of judgment from? You got it from the God who made you in His own image and who one day will bring you to judgment. So when you're judging other people, you need to be careful. Because you've got 10 fingers pointing back at you. The 10 commandments of God that you've broken and crashed, trampled underfoot. And cursed is a no thing. Well, friends, God is going to bring you to book. And that's why you need my gospel. That's why you need forgiveness. And there is forgiveness. There is forgiveness. There's a gospel, there's good news for sinners. But of course you deem yourself not to be a sinner. You deem yourself not to be worthy of eternal life. Well then, that's you out. That's your case. That's you done. You know? But if you see yourself the way God sees you, you know, not like the mirror on the wall, you know, that tells you that you're the fairest of them all, because that's not the truth, is it? The man at the wall only sees the hairdo, the makeup, the clothes, you know? But you look into the mirror of God's law, you'll see a different image. You'll see the image of your heart, deceitful and desperately wicked above all things. You'll see yourself as you truly are, as God sees you, and in need of His forgiveness, in need of being born again, in need of repenting and believing the gospel. So what does God demand of you? A new heart. Make the tree good, and the fruit will be good. You know, two trees, what are you? Bad tree, bad fruit, good fruit, which is it? In your natural state and condition as you are born, nothing but bad fruit. Bad fruit right from the very start to the end of your course in this world. And then for all eternity. Good fruit only comes from those who have been made good. That is, those whom God has changed their heart. Those who have been circumcised in heart. Those who have been born again to eternal life by Jesus Christ, by my gospel. So which are you? Bad fruit, good fruit. Bad tree, good fruit. So you see, friends, God's requirement of you is that you should be born again. And like I say, you can't do that for yourself. That's something God does. But of course you could call, seek the Lord while He may be found, call upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, his pattern of living, that is. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. That's what the Bible calls repentance, a change of mind, change of thinking, you know. You forsake, you abandon your way of thinking and you adopt God's way of thinking. Revealed, of course, in His Word, the Bible, and in the Bible alone. But you got to seek Him. Ask, seek, and knock, and it shall be given to you, and you will find that the door will be opened to you, Jesus says. God declares in His Word that He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek after Him. So, it's for you, friends, you know. God's not playing hide and seek with you. Bible's a revelation of God. He's revealed Himself clearly to you. You know that He is, but of course, you know, all creation declares that. But all creation, of course, can't bring you to a knowledge of His loving grace. You need the Bible for that, you see. You need the Word of God. Only by the Spirit and the Word of God can a person be reborn, born again, that is, as Jesus says. Then, of course, you need to repent, you know, when God puts the breath of life in you. You know, you need then to repent, you need to turn from your wicked ways, your suppression of the truth. You need to repent of your sins, your past misdeeds, your present ones. And you need to go on living that way, in repentance, you see. But repentance is always to faith, you see. A person who repents is a person who believes. And a person who believes is a person who repents, you see. The two go together. Like Siamese twins, you can't separate them. Faith, friends, Jesus. Believing in Jesus Christ, that's the saving act. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved from the penalty of sin, because sin has its penalty, has its recompense in this world. Some of you already broken in body and mind because of the way that you've been living. And are living. And of course, well, ultimately your soul, damaging your soul, and of course, well, separating you from God. It's the result of your iniquities as a penalty. The wages of sin is death, you see. Always has been. You say you're not a sinner? Only one way you'll prove that. Don't die. Don't die, because everybody dies, you know why? Because everybody's sinners, that's why. All of sin that comes short of the glory of God, all, you, me, everybody else, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It's a penalty. And his wages is death. And it's not just physical death. It's not just the spiritual death that you wallow in now. It's the lake of fire. It's the judgment of God. It's the damnation of hell. That's the finish. That's the full-blown consequences of your sin. Your sin nature and your sin practice. That's why you need to be saved. Because the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. To those that is who will believe in Jesus Christ whom I declare to you. Then of course, saved from the power of sin. Does that not hold you in its grip? And many of these addictions you try to fight, you know, all these outward addictions, you know, the fags, the booze, the immorality, I don't know what other habits you're engaged in, but you get into these sinful habits, you know, then you spend the rest of your life trying to get out of them, running to the chemist to buy patches, you know, and to give up. You don't want to embrace with some kind of cycle babble, you know, to get over them. But they're all, every one of them, you know. It's a revelation of the addiction that's inside of you. The addiction to sin. And you can't break the power of that addiction yourself. Only through Jesus. Only through my gospel. Power of God for salvation to everybody. Everybody that believes that is. No, not necessarily those who are religious. Oh, there'll be many in that day, you know, sliding down the slippery slope into the damnation of hell. And some of them will be dressed in religious clothes. Some of them will have Bibles in their hands. Everyone who believes in Jesus, that is, the Son of God, and who follows Him. The gospel is the power of God to all such as believe. Power to break, to cancel the power of sin through the shed blood of Jesus. That's what He came for. That's what He died on the cross for. To deal with sin, human sin. To deal with your rebellion against God. To deal with your separation from God. That you might be reconciled to God, saved from the power of sin and the presence of sin. Can you not see it yet? Are you still blind? Can you not see it yet? A world wallowing in the mire of sin, filth and dirt and rebellion? Can't you see that the world's going to hell in a handbasket? Are you yet blind? Can you see the violence? Can you see the drugs and the terror? Can't you see the way that it's going? That's the fruit of your false prophets. Evolution. Buddhism, Confucianism, Islam, Romanism. That's the fruit of the false. By their fruits you shall know them. What are they producing? Violence, drugs, and terror? That's how you recognize them, says Jesus, that they're false, by the fruit that they bear. Only the gospel bears good fruit. The loving kindness of God that changes a person, changes people's hearts, and brings goodness and love and kindness and forgiveness and mercy out of them. These don't come natural to men and women. These don't come natural to anybody. The supernatural. The heart has to be changed. You have to get down to the root of the problem. It's no good addressing the effects. It's the cause that you need to deal with. And the cause is sin. The cause is your sinful nature. And only God and Jesus Christ can change that. But that's what He came for. That's why God sent Jesus, loved you so much that He sent Jesus. It's your faith in His name, that you might be saved, that you might know salvation. salvation, that you might be justified, made right with God. Because you're not right with God. You need to be made right with God. And only through the death of God's Son, Jesus Christ, can you be made right with God. Justified, the Bible calls it. And then reconciled to God. A friend of God instead of his enemies. But here's the amazing thing, friends, that Christ died for the ungodly. He died for us while we were powerless, unable to help ourselves, while we were still enemies of God. Christ died for those who were enemies of God, in order that they might become friends of God through faith in the name of His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. So I bid you, friend, it's the word of God, it's not mine. Don't shoot the messenger, I'm only just the messenger. The word of God, friends, the gospel, the good news that I held to you today, that you might hear and believe, that you might repent and believe, that you might believe and be saved. But I tell you, nobody else can save you, only Jesus. Not the Watchtower Society, not the Mormon Society, not any one of your world religions. A person, the man Christ Jesus. In this man there is forgiveness of sins, because He alone died for sinners and rose again from the dead. Bible says Jesus Christ is Lord. Why? Why Jesus? Why not the Pope? Huh? Why not Muhammad? Why not Buddha? Because Jesus Christ alone conquered sin and death and hell and is alive forevermore. A living Savior, not a dead prophet you need. And He is alive. And I tell you, there's salvation in His name if you will but believe in order to be saved. Oh, turn, friends, turn today. Turn from your wicked ways, turn from your sin. While you yet have the breath of life in you, you don't know the day, you don't know the hour, when He'll come for you and take you out of this world. Could be tonight, it could be tomorrow, who knows, when you'll breathe your last and cock your toes up and go out of this world, as we all must, because it's appointed for man to die once. And after this, the judgment. So you need to get right with God before that comes. Before your appointment. You've got an appointment with God, don't you know? A divine appointment is settled in heaven. There's a decade, there's a year, there's a month, there's a week, there's a day, there's an hour, there's a moment marked in God's calendar when you personally will breathe your last. And then God will judge you on the basis of what you've done or not done with His Son Jesus Christ. If you've rejected Him and continue to reject Him, then, well, friends, it's hell, put it simply. But of course, if you believe, you'll be saved. Heaven, friends. Heaven or hell? Life and death? I place before you this afternoon, what will you do? What will you do? Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor, asked the question, what will you do with Jesus, who is called the Christ, the Son of God, the Savior of the world? What will you do with Him? I bid you, I implore you, on God's behalf, believe. Believe on Him. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. Salvation, friend, believe. Only believe, says Jesus. So you'd like a copy of God's Word, check these things out for yourself and see. This is the Word of God, and all said and done, that I bring to you. Check it out, see that these things indeed are so. It's offered to you freely. No cost, no obligation to you. Yours take and do it as you will. God's Word, read. Meditate, study it, friends. And see that eternal life is to be found, is to be had, only through faith in Jesus. And I declare to you today, believe on Him, and you shall